Take your Bibles, please. Turn to the book of Galatians, chapter 6. Galatians, chapter 6. We'll read verses 1 through 5 together, and we'll read this passage responsively. Galatians, chapter 6, verses 1 through 5. While you're turning there, I'll read one other verse to you. Galatians, chapter 5, verse number 7 reads, "You did run well. Who did hinder you that you should not obey the truth?" Now we're in Galatians chapter 6, verses 1 through 5, and again we'll read this passage responsively. "Brethren, if a man be overtaken in a fault, ye which are spiritual, restore such an one in the spirit of meekness, considering thyself, lest thou also be tempted. Bear ye one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ. For if a man think himself to be something when he is nothing, he deceiveth himself. But let every man prove his own work, and then shall he have rejoicing in himself alone, and not in another." And let's finish on verse 5 together. Ready? "For every man shall bear his own burden." And let's pray. Father, thank you again so much for our church. Lord, thank you, as our preacher reminded us this morning, not only should we be mindful of you, did you stop literally all of creation to think about us. Thank you for that. Now, Father, please be with our preacher tonight. Fill him with your power. Fill us with your power as we listen. Change our hearts. Change our lives so that we could reach more folks for you, please. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated.
My time is short, so I'm going to ask that you give me your attention so I do not have to struggle to earn it this evening. Galatians chapter 5, verse number 7 says, "You did run well. Who did hinder you?" Then the Bible says in Galatians 6, 1, "Brethren, if a man be overtaken in a fault, ye which are spiritual, restore such a one in a spirit of meekness." Folks, all Christians at one time or another are going to backslide some. Even the best of Christians at times go backward in life. And I think we need to know what to do when we ourselves backslide or when somebody else would backslide. And when I say fall, I'm not referring to any one particular sin. I'm just talking about in any area where we have gone backwards. If a Christian backslides, are we supposed to drive them out of the church and rub their nose in it? That's not what the Bible says here. The Bible says, "Brethren, if a man be overtaken in a fault, ye which are spiritual, restore such a one." We're supposed to restore. We need to help them get back on track with God and for God. We're to restore them. Yes. When I was in high school, I did not have the privilege of going to Christian school. I went to the public school, and we had a cross-country team. I ran on that cross-country team. At that time, we would run anywhere between a mile and a half and 2 miles for a cross-country meet. At that time, in our county, I was the fastest cross-country runner. Now, we had a buddy of mine that was on the team, but he was a statistician. His name was Mark. We'd arrived at a meet one day, and we had to go down this great big hill to get down to where we were going to start the race. Everybody else was following a path. There was a bit of a paved road. Well, Mark and I got this brilliant idea that we would do it our own way, and we started down this real, real steep hill. Both of us ended up stumbling. I twisted my ankle severely. I sprained it, and Mark did. He twisted his as well. By the time we got to the bottom, we're both limping along. We're supposed to be starting a cross-country meet, and so now I can't run. Now, I'll be honest. My coach ran to me. We were just 2 weeks away from our regional cross-country meet. The coach ran to me, and boy, he was worried about me. They had guys, and I was putting my arms up on their shoulders, and I was limping along, and he said, "Get the ice and get an elastic bandage, and we're going to wrap it up." Poor Mark, we just left him behind. They were just taking care of me, and old Mark, he's back there hobbling along, thinking, "What's up? You know, I'm a human being too." But the problem was, or the difference was, I was a runner, and he was not. Now, let me tell you something. I spend a lot of my time with what I would call spiritual runners. Preachers across the country that are runners have me come and preach for them. To be very honest, most preachers that are not runners don't have me come preach for them. But I spend my time with spiritual runners. And the Bible here talks about our restoring someone who has fallen. That's what they were trying to do with me when I had stumbled down that steep hillside. They were doing what they could to try to restore me so I could run again. And I spend my time around spiritual runners. And I like to help runners. And they know, a spiritual runner knows that if they stumble, I'll help them get back on the track of life and run again. But God tells us that we ought to restore runners in life. I'm going to show that to you this evening. Brother Brett, I'm going to use this cordless mic if I could. I want you to notice something here in Galatians chapter 5. Well, first of all, let me say this. I want you to know that somebody was going forward for God in the passages of Scripture that we read tonight. We read Galatians 5:7 where it says, "You did run well. Who did hinder you?" Here's somebody that was running for the cause of Christ. And folks, we're all to be running in a race for the cause of Jesus Christ. We're all to be moving forward for the cause of Christ. Hey, every one of us are to have our spiritual transmission in overdrive, not in park. If you look up at your spiritual life and you've got it in park with the emergency brake on, God says, knock it off, put that thing in drive, and let's get started. You're supposed to be going forward. If you're sitting there spinning your tires and not going anywhere, God doesn't want that. God wants you climbing the mountain. God wants you zooming up the road. God wants you moving forward. The Bible says in Hebrews chapter 2, verse number 1, "Wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us." Hey, if you look at the Bible, it's very clear you and I are running a race. Whether you like to run or not, you're in a race. And you, whether you like it or not, you're out on the track. You say, "Well, I'm not going to run." It's okay. You're on the track with the rest of us. You may stand there on the track and throw a little fit. You may stand there with your feet like an anchor and say, "I'm not going to move." Well, you're in the race. The Bible says in 1 Corinthians 9:24, "Know ye not that they which run in a race run all, but one receiveth the prize." Folks, we're all to be productive for Christ. If you're alive, there's a purpose for your living, and it's not to eat ding-dongs, Twinkies, and potato chips. It's to do something for God. See, here in the passage in the Scripture that we've read, somebody was running forward for God. If you're not running for Christ, you're not right with Christ. You are to be in the race. You're not to be sitting in the bleachers. See, and by the way, a runner is not just a talker. Some people talk of doing great things for Christ. Hey, talk is cheap. You're to be running. You're to be making something happen. Talkers are the people that everything they've ever done for Christ, they used to do it. That's a talker. Talkers say, I remember back. Or your talker is someone that says, "You just wait till next time." Well, we don't want to hear about what you did 10 years ago, and we don't want to hear about what you're going to do 10 years from now. What did you do today? You see, runners are running now. And talkers, people talk about running. You know, you get around people. There are all sorts of people that can talk sports but can't play them. Oh, you got talkers. But you know, that doesn't impress me as much as the player. You got people that couldn't shoot a free throw and make a basket, and they'll sit back and criticize NBA players that are making millions of dollars by doing it for a living. They think these people that talk about it think they're really smart. I'm not real impressed with it. It doesn't impress me that you can talk the talk. I want to know, can you walk the walk? That's more impressive. Hey, remember, God did not save us to set. God saved us to serve. And in this passage of Scripture, Galatians 5:7, and the passage of Scripture, Galatians chapter 6, verse 1 through 7, somebody was moving forward for God. Now listen, it says here, "Brethren, if a man be overtaken in a fall, ye which are spiritual, restore such an one in the spirit of meekness." Now, let me explain something to you. Somebody was moving forward, but secondly, you cannot be overtaken unless you're running. The word here used is overtaken. In other words, somebody was running along, and somebody else came along and overtook them.
Who is it that's being restored here in Galatians chapter 6, verse 1 through 7? It was somebody that was running. They were moving. You can't overtake someone in a race if they're standing still. You see, God's primary concern when it comes to restoration is to restore runners, not watchers. God's primary concern is he wants to restore the doers of the word, not just the hearers only. God's primary concern is, he said, I want a race to restore the participators, not just the spectators. In this passage of Scripture, God said, somebody has fallen. Who is that somebody? It was somebody that was running along. And God said, get to that person. They were running for me, and they stumbled. He wasn't running to restore the spectator. He was running to restore the participator. You see, here was somebody that was overtaken by a fault. In other words, they were moving, and somebody else ran along and tripped them up. Hey, listen, God does not love you less if you don't run, but he restores the runners first. Runners get special attention from God. We should try to lift everybody that falls, but I'm going to tell you something. We need to get to the runners just like God would. You see, the Bible tells us here, first of all, someone was moving forward for God. They were a runner. And you cannot be overtaken unless you are running. Thirdly, running is more dangerous than watching. Think about it. Running is more dangerous than watching someone run. Luke 22, verse 31, it says, and the Lord said, Simon, Simon, behold, Satan hath desired to have you, and that he may sift you as wheat. Now listen, Jesus warns Peter here that Satan would be after him. Why? Peter was a runner for Jesus Christ, and Jesus knew it. Jesus looked at Peter and said, this guy's going somewhere. This guy's going to do something. This guy's got a plan. This guy's not going to sit back and just watch everybody else. And Jesus said, Peter, you better watch out. You're going to be running, and the devil's going to be trying to overtake you. Jesus knew the kind of Christian that Peter was. See, folks, someone who is running is at a greater risk of falling than someone that is sitting. Now, that makes sense, doesn't it? Someone who's running has a greater chance of stumbling than someone that's just sitting. The participator is at greater risk of injury than the spectator. The doer is at greater risk than the hearer only. Hey, look, the faster you run, the greater the chance you could trip or fall. And that is true physically, but wait a minute, that's also true spiritually. When the Lord says here, if you find someone that's been overtaken in a fall, restore them, that someone was running, that someone was moving along, and the devil came along and tried to trip them up and get them to fall down. You see, folks, listen. Our opponent does not have to worry about us or chase us if we're just standing and watching. Let me show you what I mean. Brother Nash, I'm going to ask you to help me tonight. We're going to have a little skit, or we're going to act something out, and I'm going to have a couple of you help me with this. Brother Nash, I want you to be the devil. Matter of fact, just go ahead and be yourself. Come up here for a second. I want you to take two fingers, put them up there like they're horns. Fantastic, fantastic. Well, why don't I do this? Hey, can you turn your mic on? Okay. Brother Nash is going to be the devil for a second. Now, let's see here. Brother Bajan, I want to do this. Could you real quickly pull your chair up toward the front so everybody can get a closer look at you, and you just face the crowd there. Now, what you're going to be, Brother Bajan, is you are going to be a sitter. Can you do that? Okay, you just sit there. And there are a lot of Christians that do all the way through their Christian life exactly what you do. They sit in their car, they park it in the parking lot, they walk into the church, and they sit in the pew, and then they get done, and they walk back to their car, sit in their car, and drive home. And that's all they really do.
Yes, sir.
They're sitters. Hey, now, there's some, they just lay around. Brother Renison, I want you to lay down here somewhere and take you a little nap. I didn't mean to wake you up to get you started on this project here. Now, there those that just lay around, Sometimes they won't even come to church. They say, oh, I'm tired, just going to stay home. Yeah, everybody's tired, folks, just so you know that. Everybody's tired. So you've got some that lay around, you have some that sit around, and then you have some that all they do is just watch. Brother Taylor, why don't you stand up here? You can help me. These are my binoculars. And why don't you just keep an eye on everything for me, all right? You've got some that just lay around, you have some that sit around, and then you've got some they watch. They just watch. And now we've got the devil back here. Brother Bush, you're going to be a runner. Okay? Here's a runner. Brother Bush, I don't want you to hurt yourself or anything, but go up and down the stairs a couple times, take a lap around, and make sure you keep an eye on things there, Brother Taylor. Brother Renzen, you doing okay? No, he's sound asleep. Good job, sinner. Good job, sinner. Now, I'm going to ask Satan a little something. Satan, are you real concerned about the sinner?
No, sir.
Yeah, you're just sitting there. You are no threat to Satan. You're just sitting there. Hey, are you concerned about Renzen here laying on the floor?
No, sir.
No, not really concerned about him. Why? He is playing around, sucking up the air conditioning, of which there's not enough of right now. But you've got to shut up, Taylor. Just look through your binoculars, will you? You got Bajan just sitting here. He's laughing with us, and he's enjoying things. Then you got Renzen sound asleep as usual. Then you got Taylor over here. Let me ask you a question. This guy's watching everything that's going on around here. Boy, he watches the choir sing. He watches us take the offering. He watches everything going on around here. Are you worried about him?
No, sir.
No, he's just a watcher. Let me ask you something, Mr. Satan. If there was anybody out here that you would like to trip, who is it?
Brother Bush.
Yeah, Brother Bush, the runner.
It sounds personal to me.
Yeah, you would like to make him stumble, wouldn't you?
Yes,
you would
sir.
Like to make him trip. You would like to make him fall. You would like to knock him down. That's it. That's it exactly. Why? Because Brother Bush is a runner. Okay, men, thank you very much. You can have a seat there. Brother Taylor, you did a great job with those binoculars. Now let me explain it to you. Running is more dangerous than standing. Hey, and running fast is more dangerous than walking. The only time that you're shocked when another Christian fails, it's usually if they were a runner. See, you, a runner, you say, well, I never thought that would happen to them. And that's because their running for Christ had built for them a strong reputation in your mind. And when they fell, you said, oh, I can't believe they fell. Why? Because they were a runner. Did you know most of the time the non-runners it's even hard to notice whether they've fallen or not. Why? They weren't doing anything. From what did they fall? You see, we have to understand something. Running is more dangerous than watching or sitting or laying around. It's hard to notice a non-runner who falls away from church. It's hard to notice. There are some people that if they suddenly dropped out of church for 2 or 3 weeks, everybody would be saying, where's so-and-so? Where's so-and-so? Why would you be able to say that? They were running. They were making something happen. And you notice the runner. The non-runner, they can be gone and nobody even know they were gone. Would anybody notice you being gone? Are you a runner? Runners are the ones that God said, you better restore that runner. A man came to me about his car. Very sincere. He said, for those that need to ask you about a car. He said, I'm trying to decide whether I ought to get another car, what I ought to do about this car. He said, this car that I want to talk to you about, it needs some body work. It's real rusty. I said, all right. He said, it needs a bumper replaced. I said, okay. He said, the wiper blades need replaced. I said, I understand. He said, there's trim missing. I said, I understand that. He began to describe all sorts of cosmetic needs. And then when he was done, he said, what do you think? You think I ought to keep the car? Should I get rid of it? Should I trade? Should I get another car? I said, well, does it run well? He said, well, it's not running at all right now. I said, I wouldn't invest a whole bunch of money in the cosmetics of a car that won't run. That doesn't make sense. And let me tell you something. God doesn't spend as much time investing in setters as he does in runners. I mean, that just makes sense. And if you don't believe it, go to the secular world and let the lost people tell you they're going to invest in the productive people. Absolutely. Listen, a cow that won't give milk won't get much attention on a milk farm. And a hen that won't lay eggs is not the famous hen on the chicken farm. God is advising, though, he said, when a runner falls, run to that runner and restore them. Why? If we restore a runner, they're probably going to run again. They're going to run again. You know, we can restore a spectator, but usually they're going to be restored second. And the runner's going to be restored first. Does that make sense to you? And it really doesn't matter if you like it or not. God said, if you find a man that has been overtaken, in other words, he was running, run to that man and help the one that was running get back up so he can start running again. We're not ignoring everybody else, but we're getting to the runner first. Why? They're productive. They're making something happen. They're fulfilling the purpose for which they were created. And so, notice someone was running forward for God. You can be overtaken. You cannot be overtaken unless you are running. Running is more dangerous than watching. Fourthly, you know, the devil does not need to chase mere spectators. The Bible says in 1 Peter 5:8, be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour. Notice, the devil's even on the move. If the Bible says he is walking about, that means he's moving. He knows he's got to move if he's going to overcome. It doesn't say the devil is standing around. The devil's not setting with the setter. He's not laying with the layer. He's not a spectator with the spectator. He's moving with who? The runner. The devil's after the runner. He's trying to get the runner. He wants to take the runner out. He wants to stop the runner. Spectators are not competitors, folks. Who did the devil chase after in the New Testament the most other than Jesus? Peter. Why? Peter was a runner. Peter was pumped for the race. Peter got hyped. Everybody knows it. Peter get all hyped up and said, let's go get him, guys. Run off ahead of everybody. I mean, he was ready to roll. Peter was a sprinter for Jesus. You say, but he denied Christ at the devil's fire. Yes, he did indeed. And let me tell you something else. God said, that's my runner. My runner just stumbled. My runner's down. I will restore him. And Peter was restored. And the next thing you know, he's preaching and 3,000 people are getting saved. What happened? God said, right there's a runner. Get that runner up. Get that ice on his spiritual ankle and that sprain. And let's get him running again. Again, he preached Pentecost and 3,000 were saved. Hey, the devil chases after the soul winners. The devil chases after the bus captains. The devil chases after those that bring visitors to Christ. The devil chases after the Sunday school builders. The devil chases after the ones who run for Christ. If you're training to be a runner, let me advise you, watch out. I think to some of you that are maybe a little newer in the church and you're learning, hey, maybe you're a co-bus captain or assistant bus captain, assistant Sunday school teacher, and you're learning how. You're being trained. Let me give you a little warning. Hey, when you were sitting there as a spectator, you may not have the devil oppose you and try to trick you. When you were sitting, when you were laying, when you were a spectator, the devil had no cause to come after you and try to trip you up. But the minute you start running with the big dogs, you better watch out. The devil's going to try to trip you up. Spectators are not competitors. The devil chases those that are doing something. Galatians 6:1, remember, brethren, if a man be overtaken in a fault, ye which are spiritual, restore such an one. The word fault there, it actually means faulty footing while moving forward. Someone fell because they were moving forward or they were running. They didn't fall standing still. They were moving forward. They were running. You heard the joke about the two hunters? Huge black bear chasing them through the woods. They climbed up a tree. I mean, the old bear was just going crazy at the foot of that tree. Hunters are up there, and they're just scared to death. After hours, the bear kind of got a little tired and went over and laid down. One hunter said to the other hunter, let's take a run for it. I'm running. They jumped down, took off running. They were booking along. All of a sudden, the bear stirred up, started running after them. One hunter said to the other, do you really believe you can outrun that bear? And the other fellow said, no, I don't believe I can outrun that bear, but buddy, I know I can outrun you. See you, sucker. You listen to me now. We love everybody that comes. God loves everybody that's a part. But God said, you get in the race and you start running. And the devil does not have to chase spectators. When you go to the football game, the people sitting in the stands eating hot dogs and popcorn, you don't have to run real fast to get them. But if you get out on the field where somebody is running 100 yards in a sprint, somebody's got to be tough enough to go after them. And the devil, he chases after the participators, not the spectators. You know, spectators, then, should be careful not to attack participators when they stumble. I said spectators, sitters, layers, watchers should not attack runners when runners fall. Does that make sense to you? And again, I'll tell you, when I watch some sportscaster that couldn't run a 100-yard dash criticizing someone that added a tenth of a second to their 100-yard dash, I say, fat boy ought to shut his mouth behind the desk and turn the microphone off. Spectators should not attack participators when they stumble. Some of you criticize some of the most productive people in this church, and I've never seen you bring somebody down this aisle. I've never heard of you winning somebody to Christ. Who do you think you are sitting there in your own self-righteousness when somebody else has launched out, they're running along, they're doing the best they can, they stumble, and you're the first one on them? Proverbs 15:4 says, a wholesome tongue is a tree of life, but perverseness therein is a breach in the spirit. What some of us need to realize and what some of us need to do, you ought to stop criticizing the people that are making something happen. And once you've seen 1,000 or 2,000 or 20 or 50 or 100,000 people saved, once you've brought 300,000 or 400,000 people in on the buses, maybe you deserve the right to criticize this man. But until then, you might want to just get behind him and say, I don't know what it's like to run and see 400,000 or 500,000 people come in on a bus. Spectators should not attack participators. I'll tell you what, the longer you sit there, lay there and watch, the more critical you'll become of everybody else because you don't have anything else to do. A Christian who is doing nothing has no right to criticize someone who has stumbled while they were busy running for Christ. Hearers only should not criticize doers when they fall. Sanders should not attack runners when they stumble. I have more respect for a fallen runner than an upright watcher. When a runner took off running, they took their own Christianity in their own hands. When they took off running, they said, well, who's that behind me? It's the devil. They knew that they were going into an arena of competition and they would become the devil's target. And those of us that just sat there and watched have no right to criticize somebody that got out there and got in the race. If you're not running, the devil is not trying to stop you. If you do not run, you cannot be overtaken. Folks, we should restore the runner and not reject the runner. We should pick them up, not kick them down. We should run to the stumbling runner and restore him. Why? So he can run again. I'm very glad that somebody restored Peter and helped Peter get back up so he could run again. The most famous preaching service probably in history was the day of Pentecost, and it was preached by a runner that got knocked down that got right back up. It was not preached by a setter. It was not preached by a layer. It was not preached by a spectator. It was preached by a runner that took their own spiritual life into their own spiritual hands to be attacked by the devil. They got knocked down and somebody said, pick the runner up, get him back in the race. And they did. And he ran again and seen 3,000 people saved. By the way, that's what Jesus does. The Bible says in 1 John 2:1, my little children, these things write I unto you, that you sin not. And if any man sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ, the righteous. When you and I are running along in the Christian life and we stumble, the Bible says Jesus comes alongside us and he picks us up. He goes to the Father and says, I'll get him back up. They're going to do more. We can do it again. He's our advocate. He's our go-between. He defends us to the Father so we get another shot at being productive. We should run to the stumbling runner and restore him so he can run again. God puts a priority on restoring producers, not pretenders, not spectators. Notice here in Galatians 6:1 it says, restore in a spirit of meekness. In other words, kindly get to that person and say, you know what, I sure appreciate everything you've done for Christ, and I love you, and I want to help you, and I want to get you back on your feet. I want to be a blessing to you. And you know something? If you help restore runners, God's going to give you a little bit of credit of everything they accomplish when they get back on their feet and start running again. But you know, sometimes spectators enjoy seeing runners fall. The watchers, the setters, the spectators, the layers, they sometimes like watching runners fall. There are some people in here, you'd like to see it. Some leader in this church fall, you'd like to see it. You just said that would be rewarding for your cause. Why? Well, look, if a runner falls, it may make a spectator feel better about not running. See, if a runner falls, the spectator, the watcher, they may feel a little better about not being a runner. They may think that it makes running a bad thing in the minds of people. The spectator that's watching and the runner falls and on the inside, they say, I'm kind of glad that happened. Now that shows everybody you shouldn't be on that in that bus ministry. You shouldn't be going out sowing, and you ought to be like me. Well, I've got news for you. I don't care who falls. Right is right. But some would almost like to see a runner stumble because it justifies their lack of participation. A fallen runner in the spectator's mind then justifies the spectator's lack of participation. It makes them look good for a moment. And folks, if the only way that you can look good is if somebody else falls to make you look good, you're lazy and uninvolved. If the only way that you can raise the value of your property is to burn your next door neighbor's house down, you're a sorry sucker, you know it? Some say, well, I'm glad so-and-so fell. I'm glad so-and-so got beat up. Hey, why? Because it just makes you look a little bit better. You see, the Bible says, brethren, if a man be overtaken in a fault, ye which are spiritual, restore such a one in a spirit of meekness. You see, someone was running forward for God. You cannot be overtaken unless you're running forward. And running is more dangerous than watching. When the devil doesn't have to chase after or chase after a spectator. Spectators should not be attacking participators when they stumble or fall. I think we ought to all obey Galatians chapter 6, verse 1. Let's restore runners. Let's pray for the safety of the runners. Let's realize the devil targets runners. Know that the devil is after, hey, I'll guarantee you the devil's after the churches that are runners. The churches that are satisfied, they're just sitting back and they're not going forward for Christ. The devil doesn't have to chase after them. Folks, you can be dead sure the devil would like to shut this ministry down. Why? We're running. We're running. We're going somewhere. We're not satisfied with the norm. We don't want to be average. We believe in revival. We believe that God wants to do something in this day and age. And I want to run and run and run. Jesus is coming again. He's coming soon. And I don't want to find it. I don't want him to find us sitting in the pew watching. I want him to say that church was out there running. Look at what God's doing. But the devil will come after us. Hey, Sunday school builder. Hey, Sunday school builder. Realize, devil wants to keep you from running. Hey, bus captain, devil wants to keep you from running. You preachers that want to do something for God, not just get up and preach. Just go be a poet if all you want to do is get up and talk. You want to go forward and build something and make something happen. Build something for God. Build some people for God. You better watch out. Now that's running. You know, there are all sorts of preachers that are out running. They just stand up and talk. We're not going anywhere. We don't use the baptistry. We don't use the altar. That's not running. That's standing. Folks, don't attack fallen runners. Did you know something? It would be more just for you to attack the non-runner than the fallen runner. I want to recommend one thing to you. Become a runner. Why? You're going to get the first dose of spiritual first aid when you fall. You are more apt to be salvaged if you're a runner than a non-runner. You say, I would like to serve God for the rest of my life. I'd like to be faithful to Him. You better get to running. Because God said, the first people we're going to serve with first aid are going to be runners. You are more apt to survive the Christian life if you are involved doing something and productive, because God said, if a man be overtaken in a fault, ye that are spiritual, restore such a one in a spirit of meekness. In other words, God said, hey, team, our runner's down. Everybody run over there and help him get back up. And the setter may sit there and not get ice on his ankle. You see, we're to be runners, and we are to specialize in restoring runners. That does not mean God loves you any less if you won't get involved. It just means that He gets the spiritual first aid to the ones that are fulfilling the purpose for which they were created, and that's to keep others out of hell and building people for the cause of Christ. I call the sermon, Restoring the Runners. Restoring the Runners. Let's bow our heads and close our eyes.